Good morning, friends. It's Sarah. Welcome to another Meet Me in the Morning soul-to-soul talk. Today, I'm meeting with Andrea Lennon. Andrea lives in Conway, and I will let her tell you a little bit more about herself, but I've known Andrea since way years ago. Yep. We went to First Baptist Church in Harrison, Arkansas together. She graduated high school a little bit before me, but we were in high school together, and so we go way back, and it's just neat to meet with her again and to talk about what God's done in our lives in the last however many years ago that was. We won't put a number on it.
That's right. No numbers.
So anyway, I will let her start by just telling you guys a little bit about who she is.
All right. Well, Sarah, thank you so much. It's just great to be with you this morning and to be with your listeners. I am so excited about sharing a little bit about my faith story and just pray that this will be an encouragement to everyone who's listening. My name is Andrea Lennon, and I have a full-time speaking and writing ministry called True Vine Ministry. I am based out of Conway, Arkansas, and I have the privilege to travel around the state of Arkansas, surrounding states, and internationally and share God's word. And really, my heart is just to encourage women to know the truth, to live the truth, and to share the truth, knowing the truth through just studying God's word on a daily basis, living the truth by asking the Holy Spirit to make applications of the teachings found in the word to our daily lives, and then sharing it, which is just demonstrating in word and deed the difference that Jesus makes in us. I'm married. My husband and I, Jay, we've been married for 18 years. We have two boys. Jake is 14 and Andrew is 10. And so, like many of your listeners, Sarah, I'm just busy. I'm on the go with my kids and my family and my ministry. But in the midst of all of that, I'm just grateful to be able to invest in the lives of women.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, you've written a few Bible studies.
Yes.
Tell us about those and tell us how they started.
Okay.
Where you got the inspiration and the idea. I know you got the inspiration from God and
yes.
His Word, but, you know, just tell us about your Bible studies a little bit.
My first study that I wrote is called Reflecting His Glory, and it's based on Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this particular Bible study really was just born out of several years of struggling with conformity to the pattern of this world, trying so hard to measure up to the world's standard of success, and finding that it really is elusive. You know, that when we just think we have enough to be okay or to be accepted or to be valued, that the world's standards constantly change. And so the Lord just took me to His Word and really set me free, to be quite honest with you, and to just see the value in living according to the teachings found in the Word, to know that God will direct us and that He will equip us and that He will show us how to live our life in a meaningful way, in a way that brings honor to Him and is just so freeing. And so that really is the inspiration behind Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'll be honest with you and let you know that I shared in my speaking ministry the teachings of Romans chapter 12, verse 2 for many years before I wrote the study, and I just found that it connected with women. It didn't matter their age, it didn't matter their demographic, it didn't matter if we were in the United States or if I was somewhere else in another part of the world. Women just, they longed for this message of freedom, and that really is what it is. Whenever we renew our mind with God's Word, we learn to think how He thinks, and we learn to act the way that He acts, and we learn to reflect His glory to a world that desperately needs to see that Jesus makes a difference in us. It just meant the world to me to be able to share those truths with women. That's the first study that I wrote. The second study is a devotional. It's called Free to Thrive. It's based on Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm in that. And it really was a great follow-up to Reflecting His Glory, because it really talks about standing in that freedom that Christ provides. And in this particular devotional, I encourage women to know the difference between the world's definition of freedom and God's definition of freedom. The world defines freedom as doing what I want to do, when I want to do it, and having the resources available to make my American dream come true. God defines freedom in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. Freedom is Christ. Freedom is total abandon to Jesus Christ. Freedom is the fruit of the Spirit living in and through us. Mm-hmm. And so I just love the message of free to thrive, because it doesn't matter if we're in a busy season of life, if we're in any type of season of life, we have the opportunity to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that is freedom, when we are living in total abandon to Christ. And so that particular Bible study, that particular devotional, is just really a fresh word for women, for just to let go of the world's definition of freedom and to embrace God's definition of freedom, and to know that we can thrive no matter what's going on, no matter what circumstances that we face.
And Christ does set us free. You know, there is so much freedom in obeying Him and being in His Word and listening to Him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's a freedom that you don't get anywhere else.
That's right. That's right. You know, I talk about that in the study. Our freedom is never determined by a checklist. I mean, or our circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, if our freedom was based on our circumstances, we would all be in trouble. But thankfully, freedom was bought and secured with Jesus on Calvary and applied to our life through the work of the cross. And so we have the opportunity to live in that freedom no matter what's going on in us or around us. And so it's a great message of hope.
Yeah. And you're working on a new one now?
I am working on a new one. Yes, I'm very excited about the new book, and it is a study on the life of Ruth. I love the Old Testament character of Ruth, and I loved how she faithfully walked with God. And that's the title of the book, Walking with God. And it really focuses on the story of Ruth, and it goes into the history of the culture of Ruth, as well as Naomi, her mother-in-law. And it really encourages the reader to look at the character qualities that Ruth displayed during difficult circumstances, and then to ask ourselves the questions, if I was in that type of situation, how would I respond? And so it just talks about clinging to the right things in life, understanding the sovereignty and the providence and the plan of God. I'm very excited about this particular study, Walking with God. It's about discovering hope, peace, and power in your daily walk with Jesus.
And that's something we all need, you know.
Absolutely.
He is hope, He is peace, and He is the power.
That's right.
We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. So do you have a Bible hero?
I think Ruth would have to be at the top of my list, probably because, her story is so fresh on my heart and on my mind. But, you know, what I love about Ruth is that she, through God's grace, as God drew her to Himself, she left everything that was familiar and comfortable. You know, the life in Moab, everything that she knew, her family, her little g gods, her friends, everything that made sense to her, everything that was familiar, she left for a better life in Bethlehem. And I just think that's a call for all of us as women, to let go of that which is familiar, that which is comfortable, that which, you know, we tend to maybe even find our identity in, the things of this world, and to set out for, by God's good grace, a completely different life. And we see that play out in Ruth's life as she went to Bethlehem, that she was grafted into God's family, and that we as Gentiles now have heritage in the lineage of Christ because of women like Ruth. Mm-hmm. And so her story means a lot to me.
Right. And you know, it's that complete surrender and obedience too, that changes not only that person's life, but so many others around it,
That's
generationally.
Right. That's right.
And, it's so important for us women to remember that, and just to stay focused on what God's calling us to do, and not what He's calling other people to do, or how this may look, or what this may look like, you know, to the world, to everyone else, but what does it look like to God?
That's right.
And, you know, just seeking His approval, and not that of everyone else's, you know, and you see that in Ruth.
You do see that in Ruth.
I can't wait to read that.
You think about what that life must have been like, those first few days in Bethlehem. I mean, she was different than everybody else around her. I mean, she looked different. She had a different background. Her story was vastly different than her current setting. And she didn't, use that as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
She set out on that morning to go glean in the field, and God led her to Boaz's field, and mm-hmm. He set the stage for an incredible story. And I think you see that, embracing that life that God calls you to live, very much in Ruth's story.
Yeah. I cannot wait to read it. When do you expect it to be out?
Well, I'm hoping that it will be out probably the first of next year. Okay. I'll have to keep you posted on that. The editor has it right now, and so I always have to wait on her timing. Okay. To finish the edits on that. And the illustrator is working hard on the illustrations, and she's pretty close, and then it has to go to the formatter and then to actual production. So it just takes a little bit of time, but I'm hoping the first of next year.
Okay, awesome. So you have two boys.
I do.
How do you juggle this call on God that God has placed in your heart that you're fulfilling, you're being obedient to with your ministry, and you know, your calling of being a wife and a mom?
Well, you know, I will be so honest with you and just say it is a constant work in progress. You know, and I think women, we beat ourselves up because we think we have to be perfect every single time. I go through different seasons where I do a pretty good job of the balancing act, and then I feel like, oh my goodness, I've overcommitted, and so I just have to regroup, you know. And I'm thankful for God's grace in that, in those moments. My husband is a huge protection in this process for me. I always run things by him, and I ask him to pray with me and to pray for me, and I value his opinion in it. But really, probably what helps me more than anything is to know that it's okay to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to say no, even to the good things. I really, there's some things that I want to be great at. I want to be a great wife. I want to be a great mom. I want to be, you know, a Bible study teacher who is fully committed. But there's a lot of things that even in my church and in my community and at my kids' schools that I'm just not able to participate in because I have to keep the main thing the main thing. You know, the main things in my life are first and foremost my walk with the Lord. And then second to that is my ministry as a wife and a mom. And then third is the ministry to the women that God calls me to serve. And so everything kind of goes through that particular filter, you know. And if it you know, is an enhancement to those particular callings in my life, then it is probably going to be a yes. But if it's not, then for this season of life, it's a no. And I just have to be okay with that. I can't do it all, and God doesn't call me to do it all. Right. And if I try to do it all, most likely I'm walking in self-sufficiency instead of God's sufficiency. Mm-hmm. And so I just have had to learn over the years to be okay with the answer no.
Right. Well, yeah, I think you just answered my next question about discernment. I love picking people's brains about discernment and how they discern God's will for their life. Not necessarily their call, but just, you know, a yes or a no in this certain situation.
Right. And I'll say another thing that helps me in that is to surround myself with accountability.
Yes.
I have an accountability partner. I have a lady who is in my life, and she is older than me.
A mentor,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And she both mentors me, and she holds me accountable. And an important part of an accountability partner is that they're willing to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, you know. And so that has been so important to me, is to have somebody that I'm just honest with. They know the good, they know the bad, they know the ugly. Everything's on the table, and I just ask them to hold my feet to the fire spiritually, and then on the issue of just balancing life and ministry, and then also in regards to the type of wife I am, the type of friend, the type of parent, all the different aspects of life. You know, God created us to be a part of a body of believers. Mm-hmm. And that's such a gift, and oftentimes we underutilize the body of believers that God's mm-hmm. placed in our life, you know. And so I just encourage women to have an accountability partner, to encourage them to ask the tough questions, and then to respond with a surrendered heart to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their life. And that's what I try to do in my own life.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what role prayer plays in your life.
Well, you know, I think of prayer as a conversation with God. It is, you know, it is just a two-way street. So I'm both talking and listening to Him. I do use a prayer model to help my prayer life stay balanced. And it's not like a rote model, but it is just a help to me to make sure that I'm spending plenty of time in all aspects of prayer. And the model that I like to use is the ACTS prayer mm-hmm. model: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so I start my prayer time out by just praising God and getting mm-hmm. my eyes off of myself and off of my circumstances mm-hmm. and off of my list of things that I feel like God needs to do.
Yeah.
You know, and just praising Him, recognizing Him for who He is, His sovereignty, His mercy, His justice, all of the attributes that we see taught out in Scripture. And that really sets, I believe, the prayer time up to be that conversation, because I'm going to realize in that process, as I establish His authority over my life, that He's God and I'm not. And so I'm coming to Him not to inform Him about things going on, but rather to receive life-changing truths from Him. Mm-hmm. And so it just sets that prayer time up in a really positive way. And so starting with the adoration, which is just the praise, and then out of that naturally moving to confession, because when we see God in His holiness, naturally we will see ourselves in our mm-hmm. sinfulness. Mm-hmm. And not rushing that time, but just really asking the Spirit of God to search our hearts and search our minds, you know. And I'll pray a prayer: Lord, shine Your bright light into every dark corner of my soul. Mm-hmm. Reveal the hidden sin. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've often found that if I just get really busy, or if I just, you know, really go through my prayers quickly, that I won't spend as much time confessing that sin, and then I am likely to just repeat that sin the next time I'm at that same, you know, fork in the road, or have that same situation face me. And so if I'll just confess that sin and ask the Lord to renew my heart and mind about that sin, then naturally there's a transformation that takes place, that's a work of the Spirit in our life. So out of confession into thanksgiving, oh my goodness, after we confess our sins, are we not so thankful for mm-hmm. Jesus and for His grace and for the cross and for His empowerment through the Spirit of God. And so just a time of thanksgiving, and then moving to a time of supplication, where I'm presenting my requests to the Lord. I'm petitioning on the behalf of my family or my friends or people in my ministry, you know, just boldly approaching the throne of grace, you know, and casting my cares on the Lord, and not feeling bad about that, that's his will for me, is to lay that burden at His feet and to mm-hmm. surrender it there. And so prayer plays a huge role in my life. It's very relational. At the same time, I pray in the car, I pray out loud, I pray in my heart, I pray just throughout
pray
my day.
Pray without ceasing.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so it's not something that just happens in the morning or in the evening, but I try to make that a constant part of my mm-hmm. day.
Well, and I love to, you know, we love to hear our children. If you're mm-hmm. a parent, we love yes. to hear our children talk to us. We want to know what's going on in their lives, even though we may already know what's going on. We want to know.
Right.
And just as we enjoy that with our children, God enjoys that with His children.
Absolutely.
You know, that time with prayer, that one-on-one time, with few distractions,
that's
as few
right.
as possible.
That's right.
It's such an important necessity in the Christian walk that often gets overlooked, or it gets the back burner.
Right.
You know, very easily.
We can fall into a reactive mode in our prayer life, where we're only praying when we're in trouble.
Right. Give me.
Right. Yeah. And we're missing out on the beautiful abiding relationship uh-huh. that Christ offers, yeah. you know, with our Heavenly Father. And so, so prayer's a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm. What would you say has shaped your faith the most throughout your life?
I think what has shaped my faith the most throughout my life is just simple obedience to God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are faced with decisions every single day. Mm-hmm. When we wake up in the morning, we can know that we are going to face some type of decision in that day. And it is easy for me to come at those decisions with my own agenda mm-hmm. or with my own perspective on things, or maybe my experiences from the past, but to just go to the Lord and to His Word every single morning, and to say, Lord, today, show me Your will, show me Your ways, mm-hmm. and to see how He uses His Word to direct us, and to know that there is safety in that, there's protection in that. It has been transformational for me mm-hmm. to see God's Word come alive and to impact me on Monday morning when I think, wow, the reality of my life is hard, but yet God's Word is steady and consistent and able. It is alive, and it leads us, it directs us, it guides us. That has been the most shaping part of my walk with God. I mm-hmm. think just the opportunity to know God through His Word.
How do you study His Word?
I study His Word primarily inductively, where I will open the Word of God in the morning, and I will just work through a book of the Bible, and I try to, you know, go from the Old Testament to the New Testament to the Old Testament to the New Testament. And typically I study, you know, utilizing my own time and my own resources. I don't I don't, from time to time, I will utilize a study that somebody else has published, but many of my own studies that I've written and published, they come out of that personal quiet time with the Lord. And so I just like to go book by book, verse by verse. But I really strongly recommend for anybody who that might be a little bit overwhelming for them to take that on, to utilize a Bible study, mm-hmm. a devotional book, or a reading plan, a scripture reading yes. plan. Where you have some consistency yeah. and you have some accountability. Often I think women want to study God's word, they just don't know how. Right. And another plan that is very simple that I just encourage women to use is to pick one book of the Bible, read one chapter a day, and ask the Lord to speak to you through one verse. And it's amazing how the Lord will direct you to exactly the right verse of mm-hmm. scripture that will speak to whatever situation's going on in your life. And so,
and something else that's neat to add to that is having a journal or notebook with yes. you when you do that, and writing down what He says to you.
That's right.
Dating it and having that piece of history right there.
Yes.
And, you know, as far as what you're facing in that day or in that moment or your circumstances of that time, being able to look back throughout the years, maybe at His faithfulness.
Amen. That's
and how
right.
On this day, He sent you to this verse, and this is what He said to you.
That's right.
This is how He spoke to you. I think that's something else that's really neat to do with the Bible.
Absolutely. And I've done that over the years, and I always think, oh, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget this moment. But the truth is,
oh, yeah.
the older I get, the more I forget.
Right.
And
yep.
so I love having that account. And then when you're in your next situation that seems overwhelming, going back and just, you know, watching how God's faithfully worked in the past and observing that and recognizing that, and just knowing that that brings such an encouragement as we look to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. good point.
Mm-hmm. Being faithful, you know, He's so faithful in the small and the big things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, writing down every little thing that we can think of that where He has been faithful.
That's
you
right.
know. And then if we've been faithful, if our obedience, you know, and how has that in turn challenged us or blessed us or, you know, grown our faith.
That's right. And impacted the people around us.
Absolutely.
Too. You know,
yeah.
Whether it's our husband or our children or our friends or our church or our community, how God uses our actions and reactions to encourage others in their faith walk. To me, that's always such a beautiful thing about the work of the Lord in our own life. It's not contained, you know. It does
multiply.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it does. And it's a beautiful thing. Y'all, this is Andrea Lennon. Do you have anything else you want to say? Give us your website. It's
okay.
True Vine Ministry.
That's right.
What is the website?
My website is AndreaLennon.net.
Okay.
And
okay.
so if A...
I would have said it wrong.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead and spell it out. It's AndreaLennon. .net, and that's a one-stop shop, if you will, for all things True Vine Ministry. You can connect with me through Facebook, Twitter, my blog. You can also order resources, and you can check my calendar. Maybe I'm coming to a church near you. I would love to connect with you and just hear your story and pray for you and encourage you in your faith walk. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrea. We hope you guys have enjoyed this segment, and we will be talking to you soon.